with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteousness of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, I didn't intend to come tonight and try to build upon what we preached this morning, but that seems to be the way that the Lord is leading my heart tonight. I mentioned this morning about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord wants us to be a good soldier. You may not have thought very much about being a soldier, but I almost willing to guarantee some of us, we have thought about a battle we've been in these last few months. Certainly, you know, and you think about, you know, different things. We're not just facing a disease, and we're not just facing riots in the street, and we're not just facing things like that, you know, those are the outside things we see with our eyes. But underneath, there's something that is much, much more dangerous. And that is a spiritual battle that's been building since day one. But we are seeing it come to pass. And so when you think of God has called us to be a good soldier, understand God has placed you into a spiritual battle, whether you want to be in it or not. That's where you are. You're a child of God, and the world hates you. The world hates Christ. He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And any that suffer for the cause of Christ is going to be hated. And so we're seeing these things play out in our society today, and in a very grand stage, so to speak. When you think of being a soldier, first thing your mind probably goes to is a soldier endures. A soldier has to endure. He learns, he's disciplined. He learns to endure many things. Our soldiers, before we send them off to war, they're put through basic training. And through that, they learn to endure hardships that just any person cannot endure. You know, one that has not been trained, it'd be very hard to endure what our soldiers have to endure. But as they do that, Brother Joy, they become stronger and they become more mentally able to go up against the battle that they'll be fighting. And so when you think about the Lord called us to be a good soldier and that we are to endure, there's battles that we're going to face. There's a And I mentioned this morning, there's a fellowship that we learn in suffering. And I felt like I didn't get that thought across the way I'd like to. But whenever we suffer together, we learn things about one another. And it helps us to draw closer together as a body. It helps us to love one another more. And I believe that's the way God intends it to be. Sometimes, you know, when we're not willing to endure things, it causes an adverse effect. But among those that suffer together, we also rejoice together. Among those weary soldiers, there's a fellowship that is built that the world simply cannot comprehend. You know, the world out there today, they look at us and they think how crazy we are for going to church. They think about how crazy we are for praying. I've heard so many things mentioned lately about prayer and why pray. We shouldn't be praying. God's going to do what He wants to do. And just, you know, pointing fingers at Christians that, you know, feel like we're just passively sitting by. But, you know, God give us an order. He said if we're going to strive for the masteries, we've got to do that lawfully. We've got to do it according to the Word of God, not based on our feelings, not based on our emotions. And so, yes, there's some suffering for a good soldier. There's also victories along the way for a good soldier. And tonight, there's also a need for commendations for those that exhibit great valor, for those that exhibit bravery and perseverance in the face of battle. You think about maybe our soldiers, and they go and they're in the heat of battle, and they come back, and you know, if they've done something valiant, there's an award that's given to them. They're commended. They're noticed for the great work that they've done. You've exceeded in battle. And Paul understands, as he's speaking to these Thessalonians, he understands you've been through the fire and you've endured. And he gives reference to that. He talks about how that they've endured. They went through some things. And so he said it made him bound to thank God always for them. When he understood what they had been through, whenever he saw that their faith had grown tremendously and their patience had grown and they had just matured as a people of God, he said, boy, I'm just bound to give thanks for you always. It pleased him so much to see. He said he gloried in them. And I know we don't use this word often, and Brother Buddy, we have to be very careful with it, but that, he's saying, I boast in you. I boast in you. I tell others about the good work that you're doing. I brag on you a little bit for what you've done. You know, to glory in them. He said, I rejoice in you. I take great joy in you as a people. And so he commended them for their patience. He commended them for their faith. In all the persecution and tribulation that they had gone through, he said, you've grown and you're closer to the Lord. And boy, I'm happy about that. Through them, Jesus had been glorified. It was obvious. You have brought our Lord and Savior glory based on how you have endured the tribulation. This trouble, not the great tribulation now we've been teaching, but this trouble that you've gone through. Now tonight, the thought I have on my heart is very simple. It's not going to take just a few minutes to get it across, I think. But Clear Branch, listen, we have been... we have much work to do. There's no doubt about it. I don't want you to think, well, it's time for us just to stop and, you know, there's no more work to be done. We have great work to do as long as the Lord leaves us here. Our gospel must continue to shine. I believe that our zeal needs to be not only what it is, it needs to be intensified even more than what it is now. And there's many things that will be preached unto us as a body and things that we need to improve on and things that we need to do better and more growth that we need to see. And it'll be like that until we awake in His likeness. There'll never be a time where we come to church and we need just, well, we've kind of accomplished it all. And there's no more need for preaching. There's no more need to get my toes stepped on. No more need of hard preaching or anything like that. But tonight, the thought and the burden that's on my heart, everything that Paul said to the Thessalonians, I want to you have endured. You have had a taste of suffering. And who knows what tomorrow will bring? Who knows? As we look at the world and we see the way things are going, it breaks our heart to see that. You know, we bow down and we pray that the Lord would have mercy on us and that the Lord would heal our land. And who knows what we'll face tomorrow. But as of right now, church, you have endured, you have tasted suffering that maybe we haven't experienced in our lifetime. And you've experienced a very, very stressful time in the history of the church. It's been a very stressful time. It's not just for preachers, and I've talked to a lot of preachers. Brother D, I have talked to preachers throughout our church work. I've heard comments made of other friends that I would have in other places in the world and talking about the stress that they have went through, seeing, you know, the church and all the things she's been going through lately. But it's not just preachers. It's church members have been greatly stressed and there's been divisions all over the place and just people kind of back and forth, fussing back and forth about everything, every little thing. But when I think about my home church here at Clear Branch, you've experienced a very stressful time for churches. And you've prevailed. And I believe that there's a need for me to stand here as a pastor and just commend you on that. I thought about Jesus as He would send out His apostles. And He sent them out to lay hands on people and to cast out devils. He gave them that apostolic uniqueness, that gift to be able to do that. And they went out. They went from His presence and they went out into the world. And the Bible said they come back and they were just so excited because of how God had used them and the work that they were able to do and how even the devils were subject to them and they were able to cast them out. And Jesus was hearing all that and He saw them and He saw how they were reacting. And as they would come to Him, He said, come here to a desert place and rest a while. Just come over here and rest a while. I don't know what all took place there, but I believe he's letting them know, I want you to just come tell me all about it. I want you just to take a break. I want you just to come and rest a spell. And they had not even taken time to eat. They had not even taken time to eat. They were so busy. And you can imagine the things that their body had went through and all the travel and all the things that they had faced. He said, come over here and rest a spell. They had not rested. They had not eaten. They had been faithfully busy. And Jesus told them to rest. Again, I know I mentioned this morning, but you think about Elijah. And he had that grand showdown with the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. And, you know, great things happening. And at the same time, that probably took a lot out of him just to go through the day and experience all that. I'm sure they didn't say, well, let's take a time out. Let's go to lunch break. We'll come back in a little while. That was probably an all-day thing. And he watched those men dancing around and cutting themselves with stones and just the craziness of the world. He saw that and he began to mock them and say, well, maybe your God's off on vacation somewhere. Maybe you need to be a little louder. He don't hear you. And there he is mocking them. Very intense showdown with these men. And then he calls fire down from heaven. You think at that point everything's going to go back to normal the way it's supposed to be and all's going to be well? But the next day he finds himself running from Jezebel after him, going to kill him. And he runs. And he runs. And he journeys into that wilderness. And as he goes, he gets to a point, he says, Lord, just take my life. It's just too much. Nobody's listening. Nobody is really paying attention. And I find this man of God, he just collapses and he sleeps. And the angel comes along and feeds him. And he would eat and then he would go right back to sleep. You just see a man totally exhausted, totally worn out. Even though he has faithfully stood and he's done everything that God would have him to do, he's worn out. And here the Lord sends an angel to come take care of him, to feed him. He didn't even have to cook. The angel took care of it for him. But he had some instruction with it. He said, the journey that's ahead of you is too much for thee. Right now, you need to rest. Right now, you need to take a time out because the work that's ahead of you is too much for you. You need to let the Lord strengthen you. In other words, there's more to be done. He would be pushed to the max once again. Now, I know that's something you probably don't want to hear, especially after, you know, seem like one thing after another is just pounded and pounded and pounded. But who knows? We may be tested to the max here for too long. You say, well, I tell you what, Brother Brad, I don't know how much more I can take. We've seen COVID. We see these riots. We see all these different things going on. And spiritually, I've just been attacked, seemed like all year. And I don't see how I could go through much more. I'm going to tell you something. The grace of God is sufficient. No matter what we have to endure, we may have just seen the tip of an iceberg of what's to come. And so, to rest a spell. Just want you to know, it's been a pleasure working with the church here. You know, I think about being a good soldier. Sometimes a good soldier gets weary. Weary soldier, I thank God for you. I joy in you. You have worked together in patience, in faith. All glory to God through this work. And I realize, if I was sitting where you are right now and hear a message like this, I might start getting a little bit uncomfortable. Preacher, you buttering us up too much. You kind of patting us on the back a little too much. Now, I want you to understand this. I want to state this distinctly. That I'm commending my home church, the body of Christ. There's no big eyes. We're not raising ourselves up here. But rather the church, the body of Christ. She's done a great work. A great thing. I want you to get that. And there's nothing wrong with walking by and seeing an individual and saying, I tell you what, you've done a good job. We've kind of gotten away from that, but I find where Paul very much, he would call out names and say, they did a good work. They took care of me. I salute this one, I salute that one, because through them, there was a mighty work that was wrought. But I want us to see tonight that as a church, you know, all the faithfulness, I thank God for it. I thank God that through this body, I get to do this work that God's called me to do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 23. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I want to stop and just look at that just a minute. We are members in particular. Now what he's saying there is you are each part of something special. You've got the body, but you're all part of that in particular. You have a separate part in the whole. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about how that, you know, we all work together, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. You know, we're working together, but we all have an individual work to do. And so we're all members in particular. So he talks about that and he says, if one suffers, we all suffer together. There's a fellowship in that suffering. But also, if one is honored, we all honor together. Well, how is that? You know, if you've got one person that's done a good thing, well, we're all part of the same body. So it's not about me, is it? It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing honor through to Him through this body. So we have fellowship in suffering, also great fellowship in joyfully overcoming together. I can tell you this. My family, and you know this by now, my family loves Christmas. And that's the time of year I get to go and spend a little time with Mom and Daddy and my sister. And you know, and then we go to Sabrina's family and different places. A lot of different get-togethers, actually. But we love that. We love all that getting together. And it, you go and be with my family. I tell you what, you think we're a bunch of nuts? Some of the things that we would like, you might not would like. And the way we do things, you say, boy, I tell you what, y'all kind of crazy. Y'all do things a little bit weird. But I tell you what, we get together and we rejoice together. And y'all don't know all about that because you haven't been there. You didn't get to experience it like I have. But it's a wonderful thing. There's a fellowship that comes not only in suffering, but there's fellowship that comes in rejoicing together. And for a church, we have that here. We've suffered a little together. We've joyed together. And so, just let it be what it is. Let's come together even more so. I'm thankful tonight. I stand here and I say, I'm thankful for my salvation. Jesus died for me and I'm saved. If you're saved, we have that together, don't we? We know something about that. Lost person don't know about that. Can't comprehend it. You might hear it and you might have some expectations about it, but you don't quite know what we're talking about when we say, I'm saved. I'm going to glory. I lay my head on my pillow and sleep at night knowing no matter what comes, I'm going to glory. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm so thankful. Most of all, more than anything in my life, I'm thankful for salvation. And I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful God has given me a good family that I get to be part of. I'm thankful that He has given me a part in His work. You could not have... I had a teacher one time in high school that said, you need to sit down and you need to write 5 different things you want to do in life. And then we'll kind of research those and see which way you decide you want to go. If she'd have said, write 1,000 things, preaching would have been at the bottom. That would have been the last thing on the list. I would have took anything. I wrote on a garbage truck before I'd done that. Anything, you couldn't put anything else ahead of it. But now, you couldn't pay me enough to quit. There's no way you could change my heart. I am so thankful for the work that God has given me to do. I want to do it with all my heart. I want to be more faithful to it. I'm thankful that I get to be a member of His body. And tonight I want to encourage you this. I'm thankful it's with you. I'm thankful it's not with another group somewhere. I'm thankful that it's with you. I get to go out from this church. I get to come pastor this church. I get to be a member at this church. If the Lord called me to pastor somewhere else tomorrow and I had to leave Clear Branch, my membership's still here. I still get to be a part of this church. And that is special. And there's a lot of people seem like they always wonder what their church can do for them. I don't know what can I do for my church. That is special to have a part, to be. It's a great privilege to be part of something like this. So tonight, I don't just keep on getting mushy more and more, but let us rest in Him. Let us be strengthened in Him. Elijah, take strength because the journey ahead is too much for you. No telling what tomorrow might be like. But right now, let us rejoice in Him. Tomorrow we shall battle all the day long. A cross to bear. A cup to partake of. I want to encourage you tonight to keep on keeping on. We ask for something.